From Bureaus Worldwide, this is FSN.
Thanks, Benji. Good to hear from you. Tuesday, the 21st of January, 2020. The Richie Allen Radio Show. Where else would you be? Thanks for joining me. Hope your day's been good. Mine has been eventful, busy. But, hey, we've got lots to talk about in the coming hour or thereabouts, maybe a bit longer than that. And I've got some exciting news about some guests coming up on the programme in the next day or two as well. Lots to tell you about. Welcome to your Richie Allen Radio Show. Do get in touch right now through the usual, well, the usual means, and that is Twitter. It's very simple. Twitter, tweet me.
Fabulous.
It's all good.
It's the Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, I got some exciting news about tomorrow's programme, particularly. I'll tell you a bit about that later on in the broadcast. I'll tease you. I'll keep you hanging on. Because I just keep you hanging on. Yeah, child of the 80s, Kim Wilde. I'm going to be looking at the biggest stories of the day, a little bit of analysis, and we might have a giggle or two along the way. Tuesday's Richie Allen Radio Show, Fab Radio 2 in Manchester, triggerwarning.tv. We are on the TuneIn app, and the programme is archived on Spotify, iTunes, and Podomatic. Yes! Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm all right. Well, I'm not all right today, but I'll be better next week, I don't mind telling you. Still struggling with the old breathing. I'm not too bad at the moment, but I've had a bit of breathlessness today. Got a bit of an infection on the old chest. I know I'm a whinger. I know. You're a whinging bastard, Richie. I know. But then I am a man. Okay? That's what we do. We whinge. So, let's have a look through what's... lots going on. Davos, World Economic Forum. Impeachment of Donald Trump. Greta in Davos as well. The Labour Leadership Contest. Sheffield University, still in the news this. Telling their students that they will pay them to search out microaggressions. Oh, we've loads to talk about, me and you. But we're good mates. When have we ever not had lots to talk about? We've loads to talk about. So we'll get right into it. Excuse me. Bit of coughing there. What did the great comedian, one of my favourite comics of all time, is Chris Rock. There's one particular Chris Rock performance from about 10, 12 years ago. It's hilarious. It's the one where he talks about Robitussin. Robitussin. In Ireland, we have Calpol. In the States, it's Robitussin. You know, it was a great routine Chris did about how no matter what was wrong with the child, Mum would bring out Robitussin. And in the same live show, he talked about the crazy kids in school. It was very fun. I love Chris Rock. One of my ambitions to see Chris Rock. He was in the arena in Manchester a couple of years ago, and we couldn't attend because I think we were somewhere else that weekend. But I do love Chris Rock. Great guy. Very funny man. Anyway, let's just get straight into it. And I will be looking at Twitter, so do your worst. Tweet me some intelligent comments, please. Give me some intelligent commentary. Not your usual shit. Right. I know, I crack myself up. That's all that matters. Not your usual fare, please. I want some intellectual comments today. Please. All right. Okay. Well. I monitor the world's media. Well, I monitor European media, US media, Israeli media, and the media here in the UK. Predominantly is what I do. And all I got to say today is vive la France. Vive la France. We have French news. Do you want some French news? This is great, this. I don't know if you've seen this. It's hidden away on the BBC, the BBC's own website, bbc.co.uk/news. bbc.co.uk/news. We've got a wonderful bit of French news. Oh, yes. Oh, you ready? This is hugely interesting from our Gaelic friends. Listen to this now. A French publisher has apologised today after a history textbook that appeared in bookshops in recent weeks suggested that the September 11th attacks 2001 were probably orchestrated by the CIA. Honestly, a textbook for third level students suggested that the CIA was behind the attacks of September the 11th. The book History of the 20th Century in Flash Cards is aimed at undergraduate students, and on its website the publisher of the book said the phrase should never have appeared. They're mortified. The publisher said this phrase, which echoes conspiracy theories devoid of any factual basis, should never have been used in this work. It doesn't reflect the editorial position either of Ellipse's Publications or the author. Fantastic. The author is a guy called Jean-Pierre Rocher, and it obviously reflects his opinion because he wrote it. Yes, the CIA were involved, he said in the book. Wonderful! Listen very carefully, for I shall say this only once. The book came out in November, and apparently students were reading it until the daughter of a secondary school teacher bought a copy, saw the reference to the CIA, and, well, screamed a progressive scream that could be heard on planet Pluto. Wonderful stuff. There still are men and women in academia trying to get the truth out there. I love it. Yeah. By the way, that was the theme tune to Allo Allo, the great Gordon Kaye. Wonderful BBC sitcom that ran for years, set during the Second World War in a village in France where René and his wife Edith ran a cafe that was frequented by the Germans. Very funny stuff. Officer Crabtree and all of that. Yeah. Isn't that interesting now? Third level textbook, blaming the CIA for 9/11. Wonderful. And was fairly, well, it was out there until it was spotted, and now it has been withdrawn. God forbid that you can have an opinion, you know? Yeah. 10 minutes past the hour. Jesus, 10 minutes already. Lie detectors will prevent jihadis leaving prison and killing you and me. Because we'll hook them up, right? Their fingers, their palms, their temples. We'll put nodes on their temples and we'll ask them a few questions. Questions like, are you still thinking of killing us while screaming Allahu Akbar? Allahu Akbar, are you? Are you planning on doing that? And if the machine says they are safe, we'll let them back into society. All is forgiven, Usman. All is forgiven. Don't worry about it. You've passed the lie detector test. You plan on killing us and screaming Allahu Akbar? No. And the machine says, he's telling the truth. Let him out. Let him go basically unmolested. Let him go unsupervised back into the community. This is the government today. The government, which also wants to increase prison sentences for terror offences. They want more jail time, basically, and they want to end early release. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, was talking about this today. And the polygraph is part of the process. The problem is, though, polygraphs are relatively easy to navigate. They're easy to beat. Says who? Well, says Craig. Craig is a former military man, decorated military guy, and because Craig probably committed unspeakable crimes in Northern Ireland and other parts of the world, his identity has to be kept secret. He was on LBC Radio with Nick Ferrari this morning, was Craig, and Craig says, anybody can beat the old polygraph.
I think it's ludicrous. I trained with the British Army. I was a member of the British Forces for 6 years.
Yep.
I went through numerous programs of training, and one of them was through anti-interrogations. And I'm not saying that every single person could possibly pass a lie detector test, but the actual theory of passing a lie detector test is pretty simple.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, for 2 or 3 days, we went through a course of how to regulate your breathing, how to think about the correct answer, but answer with the wrong answer. For someone to say that, oh, yes, this guy's passed a lie detector test, but so he's completely reformed. Yes, let's introduce him back into the community is crazy to me.
How long does the training take for you and the other men and women to take on a lie detector test, Craig?
Well, you're immediately taking a lie detector test from to set a level And then after that, within one day of training, you're potentially in a position where you can fool the machine. You can at least give it an unreadable result.
I see. So you blur it so much they can't tell one way or the other, effectively.
Yeah.
Correct.
That's very interesting, because I've been told this numerous times over the years that breathing control can be taught very, very quickly to a person who's going to take a polygraph test, that you would, as Craig said, think of the correct answer. So if you did kill your cheating wife or you did kill your cheating husband, you actually did do it, and you're hooked up to the polygraph machine, and the detective says, did you kill your cheating wife or your cheating husband? You actually think in your head, you think, I did. You think that, but you say, I didn't. Now, that might sound a bit ridiculous, but it's true. I've seen this in action. Spoke to a former FBI agent on the radio when I was covering another presenter back in my days in Spain. And he said the very same thing. It's very easy to do. So there you go. So Craig is telling the truth. Now, would you believe it? I've been loaned a polygraph machine for today only, for demonstration purposes. And I want to thank the many listeners to the Richie Allen Radio Show at Quantico in Virginia for loaning me the equipment today. I love it. It's a very rudimentary model, they say. Very simple. Don't get excited, Richie. You make a statement out loud and the machine determines whether it's veracity or mendacity. And if I had a team of people working with me now, we'd have a veracity or mendacity sting, a jingle. But we don't, because it's just the BBG, not the BBC. It's just the BBG on his own, referring to himself in the third person again. What's happened? He's left planet Earth. My ego is writing checks my body can't cash. Right, okay. On a serious level, we've got the lie detector thing here. It's a basic rudimentary model. It's true or false, and it signals correct or incorrect when you make a statement out loud. Couldn't be easier. Again, thanks to my pals at Quantico. So we'll start with a couple of simple control questions or statements. A couple of control statements. Things we know to be true just to ensure that the machine is actually working. This is important. Here we go. So today is Tuesday. Right, it's working. Well, hang on. We'll try another one. Hayden Hewitt and Graham Booth are secret gay lovers. Well, it's definitely working then. We know it's working, right? Okay. Let's give it a statement we know to be false, just to be on the safe side. Ken O'Keefe is a model citizen and someone to whom you could entrust your life savings. Yeah, it's working. It's absolutely working. We might come back to the lie detector in a few minutes. It's more like a magic eight ball. It's more like a magic gate ball than a lie detector. You make a statement and it tells you whether it's right or wrong.
What kind of fuckery are you?
Okay, that was a joke, but Hayden and Graham Booth are gay lovers. Right, let's move on. Let's move on. Cutting edge stuff, that polygraph machine from Virginia. Now, Adam Schiff is a Democrat and he is the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Today, at the beginning of the impeachment trial of Donald Trump, Adam Schiff is properly pissed off. He's pissed right off. Okay? Someone took the jam out of his sandwich. Somebody took the jelly out of his donut. Why? He's pissed off at Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. Pissed right off with Mitch McConnell. Why? Why is he pitched off? Pissed off with Mitch McConnell. Well, because Mitch McConnell is the Senate Republican leader and he's been laying out the rules for the impeachment trial beginning today, and those rules would raise the bar for introducing evidence and make it very difficult to introduce witnesses, meaning that this could go on forever with very late night sessions in the Senate, and it might limit the number of American people who are able to watch the proceedings live. Now, this resolution by Mitch McConnell, the Senate Republican leader, will approve today. And it has properly cheesed off the Democrats. They believe it's completely unfair because it limits the witnesses, as I said, that they can introduce, and the evidence. Adam Schiff is disgusted, and here he is speaking a couple of hours ago. Adam Schiff.
This is not a process for a fair trial. This is the process for a rig trial. This is the process if you do not want the American people to see the evidence. This is a process you use if you want to, hand in hand, working in concert with the president, allow the president to continue to obstruct the Congress and deny the truth to the American people. Thankfully, however, we know the truth. The evidence is already overwhelming, and that evidence is that the president abused the power of his office, withheld hundreds of millions of dollars of needed military aid to an ally at war in order to coerce that ally into interfering in our election. And then when he was caught, obstructed the Congress to cover it up. That truth is inescapable, no matter how McConnell wishes to structure this trial. But we will be appealing to the manager, we will be appealing as managers to the senators today to live up to the oath they have just taken, to do impartial justice and to hold a fair trial.
Doesn't matter anyway. Well, none of it matters to begin with. But if you pretend it's real, it matters not because the Republicans control the Senate. Doesn't really matter. Now, the hairpiece himself is in Davos at the World Economic Forum, Switzerland. And he's like a doll with a string on its chest. You know, when you pull the string, the doll keeps saying the same things over and over and over. Here's Trump briefly on the impeachment proceedings, and he says what he always says.
That whole thing is a hoax. It goes nowhere because nothing happened. The only thing we've done is a great job. We have the strongest country in the world by far, and it was going in the wrong direction. We have the greatest economy we've ever had in the history of our country. And I'm in Europe today because we're bringing a lot of other companies into our country with thousands of jobs, millions of jobs in many cases. So that whole thing is a total hoax.
Yeah.
So I'm sure it's going to work out fine.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Good friends of mine, whenever I play clips from Democrat bigwigs like Schiff, they tell me he's a creep, he's sleazy, he's slimy. Of course he is. But Donald Trump is a pederast and assaulted dozens and dozens of women over the last 20 years. They're all the same, these people. All of them. It doesn't matter. Trump is best friends with the Clintons, Jeffrey Epstein. It's all the bloody same. It's a big illusion to make you think that you're in control ultimately of your own destiny, that you get to decide. And it's amazing, really. You know, it's amazing that we have to keep banging this out there. I know that most of us, most you and me, we know this, but we forget sometimes. I don't. But we forget sometimes. We get wrapped up in it, in the theatre. We forget that all of these people, carefully selected, controlled opposition, every one of them. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who sits in the Oval Office. Matters not. But, you know, you have to, you kind of have to meet people halfway, which is what this radio programme does, which is why we cover it, even though it is a nonsense, because increasingly more and more people are checking out programmes like this. They're coming from the mainstream. Anyway, 21 and a half minutes it is past the hour. Tuesday's programme, the Richie Allen Radio Show. More from Trump in a few minutes' time. Briefly, the Labour leadership contest, very briefly. Jess Phillips has withdrawn from the race, the Birmingham Yardley MP. The social justice warrior, the feminist extraordinaire, the self-styled tell-it-as-it-is woman. I cut through the bullshit, says Jess Phillips. Calls everyone bab. Odious woman. They all are. But Phillips is the queen of the virtue signalers. I don't mean all women are. All politicians are. Phillips is out of the contest. Here is Sky News John Craig explaining what's happened.
Yes, not a great surprise, because she wrote a very candid article in the Guardian not long afterwards, in which she said, "I hated the first hustings on Saturday. I was awful," she said. And she went on to say that the likelihood that anyone but Keir Starmer or Rebecca Long Bailey is going to win is pretty low. The likelihood of someone like me being elected to be a party leader is slim. I might not look the most like a prime minister in this race. I cannot win that war, so I'm going to stop fighting it. A hint there that she was going to pull out. I probably won't win. Well, she got the 22 nominations, okay, from MPs and MEPs that she needed. Although you have to say they were from what one might unkindly call the Blairite rump of the Parliamentary Labour Party. People like Neil Coyle, Margaret Hodge, Liz Kendall, Siobhan McDonough, Pat McFadden, Ian Murray, Wes Streeting. But since then, she's not picking up any support. Now, Rebecca Long Bailey's had an endorsement from Momentum, the left-wing grassroots group. Sir Keir Starmer's picked up the big Unison trade union. Today's hustings, where Jess Phillips didn't turn up, was the GMB, one of the other big unions. Now, will the withdrawal of Jess Phillips mean that some of the unions, possibly including the GMB, might be inclined to broaden the contest, if you like, and go for a candidate like Lisa Nandy or...
Well done, John. He got that spot on, because about an hour after John Craig suggested that the GMB union might throw their weight behind Lisa Nandy, it turned out he was right. GMB union have decided to announce, or they have announced, that they're backing the Wigan MP Lisa Nandy in the forthcoming vote. Basically, this is supposed to be all over by early April, I believe. We're supposed to have a new leader of the Labour Party. So the GMB union, as suggested by John Craig, has indeed endorsed Lisa Nandy. The General Secretary of GMB, Tim Roach, was on Sky News an hour ago, and he explained why they have opted for Lisa Nandy.
I think our executive, after a very testing hustings, felt that she was a real breath of fresh air. Lisa offered optimism, dynamism, some real fresh approach, and understood the scale of the challenge, but really inspired our executive and feels that in 5 years' time we can genuinely return to power. So I'm really proud that GMB have nominated Lisa Nandy as our leadership candidate.
But many of the members quite fancied Keir Starmer, didn't they?
Yes, indeed, they did. And that came into the discussion debate. We canvassed the views of many of GMB members, and our executive, who were just recently appointed only a couple of months ago, came here with the support of our members on their shoulders. They listened to the debate, listened hard, and Lisa Nandy came out with a decisive victory. So I'm delighted that that was the case.
And you've made what was looking like a two-horse race pretty much now a three-horse race.
Well, I hope we have, because I'm absolutely certain that the more people see Lisa Nandy, the more they listen to Lisa Nandy.
Yeah, we don't need to hear any more of that. He goes on to say the more people see and hear of Lisa Nandy, the more they will be impressed by her. And she'll go on to unite the party and all the rest of it. That's the Labour leadership contest. Listen, for what it's worth on Donald Trump, I have a little theory that I've put out there in the last few weeks. And I'm always wrong, as you well know. My predictions, well, don't take them to a bookmaker. Well, first of all, don't go to a bookie, full stop. But don't take my predictions with much more than a grain of salt. But I wonder if the cabal wants to sow a bit more chaos, like real chaos and anger, and drive people onto the streets, more disorder. The thing to do would be to remove Trump at the forthcoming presidential election, because there's an election in November, just in case you forgot. I don't believe Trump is going to be I don't think the Senate is going to rule against Trump in the impeachment proceedings. If the Senate did, Trump would be immediately removed from office and Mike Pence would take his place. I don't see that happening, but I do see Trump not winning in November. Now, again, I could be talking through my backside. What do I know? I see that as being a possible chess move by the cabal. And I see them doing it in such a way to make it look like Trump was hard done by. To make Trump's supporters believe that Trump was the victim of foul play. And you'll have massive disorder and chaos in the short term anyway in the United States. That's a possibility. But again, remind me in November when I'm wrong and Trump wins a healthy, you know, he wins easily. Just remind me. I'll be the first to say, yeah, I got it wrong. if I was the cabal, I would do that. If I wanted to up the ante in terms of dissent, in terms of anger, in terms of violence, because, of course, they've got all the solutions for civil disobedience, at least for street movements and street protests. They've got all the solutions. More and more and more hyper-militarization of the police, more calls for the army to take the place of domestic police on certain occasions, and all the rest of it. So just keep that in mind. Again, I could be talking through my sphincter, which I often do. This is the Richie Allen Radio Show for Tuesday, 21st of January, 2020. I'll be back with you in, well, very soon.
Renowned healer Mark Bajerski travels the world to find the most unique and powerful crystals for self-healing. Since the ancient times, crystals have been used as healing tools. They hold a natural healing vibration and are highly charged in positive energy. Mark teaches how to channel the universal energy and transfer it to the crystal to activate its healing power. Each crystal is used for its unique ability to target a different physical or emotional challenge. Mark Bajerski is an author, healer, speaker, and founder of the Pure Energy Healing Academy. He shares powerful messages of inspiration and healing on his daily YouTube videos, reaching millions worldwide. Mark's crystals, healing oils, and incense sticks are most sought after by other healers. His collection is available online at www.markbajerski.com. His work is presented through Lemon House, a company that creates and curates consciously made gifts.
Right, it's over to your tweet. Thanks to Patrick for this tweet. The cabal wouldn't do that which you suggested, Richie. Remove Trump and make it look like it was foul play. The reason, says Patrick, is that they would be frightened that Joe Public could gain the upper hand in a revolutionary-type environment. They are going to be fucked and they know it, says Patrick. Doesn't much matter what they do now, in my opinion, he says. Patrick, I disagree there. They're not remotely frightened of any revolutionary type movements or people taken to the streets. Not in the slightest, mate. Why would they? Because they wouldn't have to fight it. They'd be setting liberals against Trump supporters on the highways and byways of the heartlands of the United States. They just stand back and laugh as Antifa meet these guys head on in the streets, and they just mop up whatever is left. I appreciate your comment, my friend, and you might be right. I'm not dogmatic, but I don't think they're in any way scared of, you know, an uprising of sorts by Trump supporters who feel that he was robbed. But look, again, what do I bloody know? Thanks to Hamish, who sent me a tweet from Chuck Woolery. Chuck Woolery is a Navy vet, and he's a conservative. He's based in Hollywood, California, and he's got a big, big Twitter following. Chuck says this. Totally different subject. Talking to my son about a coffee machine on my iPhone, says Chuck. Moments later, my wife gets a message on her iPhone. It's an ad for the same coffee maker. Someone is listening to us, and we don't even know it, says Chuck. And Chuck's got a blue tick, so we've got to take him seriously there. He's got a blue tick. This is interesting because I have not used a search engine to request any information about the new addition to our household, young Leia, the golden retriever pup. I haven't. And yet, every single time that I open a YouTube video, I swear, every time, and I've looked at a lot of YouTube videos, news websites, RT, Fox, and all the rest of it, the first ad I see is an ad for pet training, dog training. Of course we're being listened to. It's not even up for debate now. Moinga has made a very unkind comment about Jess Phillips. And although I find it funny, Moinga, I'm not going to read it out. People can find it themselves. People can find it themselves. Hi to Laurie Hatfield. How you doing, Laurie? Laurie enjoyed that magic eight ball nonsense. We've all had a magic eight ball at one time or another. I remember buying one for her indoors some years ago. Or indoors being, obviously, the oft-mentioned Caroline, the future Mrs. Allen. Magic 8-ball. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Especially when you're pissed. Get pissed and get a magic 8-ball out and, well, you'll never be bored. Oakley Dokley. Hi to David Stanford, to Mark Wild, to Scottish John in Austin, Texas. How you doing, John? Only steers and quick. No, I'm not gonna make that old gag. No, I'm not gonna do that. Hi to Francis Leader. Might or might not be listening. Is tweeting away there. It is 27 minutes to the top of the hour. I'm going to have a tune. When we come back, we're off to Davos, and we might just have to hear a little bit from Greta. Because, you know, it's important we hear a little bit from Greta, right? This is Europe's most listened to independent radio show, broadcasting live from Salford and Greater Manchester. And my name is Richie Allen. Welcome to the programme. Tweet at Richie Allen Show with any comments, anything you've got to say. I'll read it out when I get it. Billy Ocean, Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car. The video for that song would not be allowed in 2020. Oh God, no. Not in the era of wokeness. Oh Jesus, no. No. Bon Jovi's videos, mid-80s. Van Halen, David Lee Roth. Oh, be Jesus. All those videos now would be banned. And those very fetching young ladies with the big boobies, they wouldn't be able to make a few extra bucks as they put themselves through college. That's why I love Melinda Messenger. Melinda Messenger used to be a glamour girl. At least that's what people thought about Melinda. But she was far more than that. Unbelievably smart woman. Unbelievably smart lady. Met Melinda Messenger many, 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 many years ago when she was in Ireland. Oh, be Jesus. Very, very pretty woman. And ginormous jugs. Yeah. But she had a bigger brain than she had breasts. And way back then, that came up, you know. You know, that, is it exploitation? And Melinda Messenger said, fuck no, it's not exploitation. You know, I make a lot of money out of it, kid. And it's paid for me, my flat, my car, my education. And I said, you know what, kid? Who could argue with you? But yeah, Billy Ocean, those videos wouldn't be allowed today, would they? Would they? Would they? Would they? George Orwell is trending on Twitter. Did you see that? I know, excuse me, I know some of you, the so-called active listeners, Boris, I'm channeling my inner Boris Johnson, active listeners are tweeting me. You're the minority, actually. It's the way it works in radio. You're the minority. Did you know that? Did you? You're the vast minority that you're engaging with me. Most radio listeners don't engage. They just listen. And you might notice on Twitter that George Orwell is trending. And George Orwell is being quoted by Ian Duncan Smith, boo, Toby Young, boo, I don't mean boo really, and many others, because they're talking about the possibility that the era of woke culture might be coming to an end. I'm not sure about that, but George Orwell is trending on Twitter there. Before we move on, and there's still loads to get through, I could be here all night. Before we move on, I mentioned the comedian Chris Rock earlier on. Comedian and actor. Very funny man. Love him. Love Chris Rock. Here's Chris Rock talking about Robitussin and health insurance. I don't know if... I'm breaching probably lots of copyright here, but I don't care because it's very funny. Let's have a giggle. It's only 2 minutes long. Chris Rock talking about Robitussin. Love this.
That's right, Mac. When I was a kid, we didn't have no insurance. We didn't have a damn thing. You had to be damn near dead to see the doctor. That's why you had to be way past Robitussin. That's all we had when I was a kid, Robitussin. No matter what you got, Robitussin better handle it. Daddy, I got asthma, Robitussin. I got cancer, Robitussin. I broke my leg, Daddy poured Robitussin on it. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get in there, boy. Yeah, boy, let that tussin get on down to the bone. Yeah, the tussin ought to straighten out the bone. It's good. If you run out of tussin, put some water in the jar, shake it up, more tussin. More tussin. They don't cure shit. They don't cure nothing. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid, man. What's the last shit a doctor cured? Polio. You know how long ago polio was? That's like the first season of Lucy. Shit, Fred had an afro with finger waves. Have you ever met anybody with polio? Anybody feel a little poly around you? No. That's right, they don't cure shit. Same disease has been hanging out since I was a kid. AIDS, sickle cell, tuberculosis, cancer. Jerry's kid still limping around. I've been watching the Jerry Lewis telethon for probably about 15, 16 years now. Not one stitch of progress whatsoever. Come on, man. Lie to me, Jerry. Lie to me. What the fuck you doing, Jerry? Put a stick in the kid's back. Prop him up with some shit. Come on. Come on. Call Steven Spielberg. Get some special effects on this shit. Get George Lucas on the case. CGI, motherfucker. CGI. What the fuck? Tie some string around and make a crippled puppet or some shit. Lie to me. Where the fuck's the money going? Where's the money going? What? To keep Jerry's hair black?
We haven't cured anything since the first series of Lucy, huh? Doctors don't cure shit. Chris Rock, yeah. Some people know. Some people know. Good stuff, that. Chris Rock. On stage about 12, 15 years ago. Right, moving on. Very quickly. Better move on because, well, time. Time is against us. We could be here all night long. Your Richie Allen radio show. It is exactly 20. It isn't. It's 18 minutes to the top of the hour. Going to talk about Davos. There is news. There is news of Greta Thunberg. It's not Thunberg. You don't pronounce the H. Took me a while to cotton on to that. It's Greta Thunberg. And there is news of Greta, so we better do Greta News.
They sweep their mess under the carpet for our generation to clean up and solve.
How dare you! You have stolen my dreams, my childhood, with your empty words. People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction. How dare you?
Yes, she's at Davos for the World Economic Forum, the little prophetess of doom, the priestess of panic. She's a nightmare. She's there. Greta News. Here's what she had to say to the press today. We need to forget about net zero carbon. We need to get to real zero, says Greta Thunberg.
We are not telling you to keep talking about reaching net zero emissions or carbon neutrality by cheating and fiddling around with numbers. We're not telling you to offset your emissions by just paying someone else to plant trees in places like Africa, while at the same time forests like the Amazon are being slaughtered at an infinitely higher rate. Planting trees is good, of course, but it's nowhere near enough of what is needed, and it cannot replace real mitigation and rewilding nature. And let's be clear, we don't need a low-carbon economy. We don't need to lower emissions. Our emissions have to stop if we are to have a chance to stay below the 1.5-degree target. And until we have the technologies that at scale can put our emissions to minus, then we must forget about net zero. We need real zero.
You know, you want to scream at the assembled media. Ask the little bollocks, how the fuck does she know? But they won't. The answer is, of course, because a man with an Eastern European accent told her. She's not a scientist, a geologist. We've said this 1,000 times. Ask her. She's beyond a young woman now on the spectrum. Fuck that. She's fair game. She's fair game now. Say what you want. You fucking lunatic. Where are you getting this stuff from? I can't believe it. It's the one issue I agree with US President Donald Trump. It kills me.
This is not a time for pessimism. This is a time for optimism. Fear and doubt is not a good thought process, because this is a time for tremendous hope and joy and optimism and action. But to embrace the possibilities of tomorrow, we must reject the perennial prophets of doom and their predictions of the apocalypse. They are the heirs of yesterday's foolish fortune tellers, and I have them, and you have them, and we all have them. And they want to see us do badly, but we don't let that happen.
Yeah. When we're hit by the Maunder minimum. When we have that cold snap, which will last for a few years, what are they going to do then? You know, what are they going to say about that when it happens, if it does happen? I should be fair, if it does happen. Hi to Cherise. How you doing, Cherise? Heidi Themeshoon says, Cherise, loved that show. Greta is a robotic script reader. I would agree with that. Jason agrees. She wrote that script well, says Jason. Let me go back there. Lots of comments on this. Unsurprisingly. My friend Sharon Gale says, Greta has made me determined to fly more this year than ever. That voice is like nails on a chalkboard, says Sharon. Yeah, you'll get the shivers. Picture nails on a chalkboard. Imagine it. Imagine dragging your fingernails along a stick of chalk. Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. Give over, Richie. No need for it. Yeah. Truly hate that kid, says David. David, I'm not going to lecture you because I'm finding myself increasingly more and more angry. But then I suppose that gives them ammunition. They see you as even more of a big baldy gammon, don't they? If you get angry with them. There's no truth to it. These visions of... I mean, basically, they've looked at The Day After Tomorrow, which starred Dennis Quaid and Jake Gyllenhaal. That stupid fucking film. You remember that? The Day After Tomorrow and 2012 with John Cusack. And they've stolen those scripts and they've said, in 10 years' time, if we don't reduce our carbon footprint and if we don't reduce the temperature, we're going to have The Day After Tomorrow or 2012. It's nonsense. Now, this is getting a lot of coverage on media. Unsurprisingly. Sky News Adam Bolton. Now, Sky News Adam Bolton, Bunter, as he is affectionately known by the Westminster press gaggle. They call him Bunter. He spoke with Anne Pettifor. Who's Anne Pettifor, you might ask? She's a council member for the Progressive Economy Forum, with the emphasis being on progressive, even though their plans for the economy are regressive. I'll give you Stormzy and fucking Grimesy. I'll take the Pepsi challenge with those artists. They want to reverse growth. Recession will ultimately save the planet. She's a bit mad, Anne Pettifor. Does she agree, Adam Bolton asks, with what Greta has to say? The answer won't exactly knock you for six.
Absolutely, she's right. You know, I've heard Charles Schwab saying that they want to aim for net zero emissions.
He's the guy who runs Davos.
Yes, net zero emissions by 2050. But she's right, we need to do it sooner than that. And net zero means not zero emissions. It means postponing getting to zero by handing the problem over to future generations, you know, because it implies that we will, for example, have carbon capture and other technology with which to reabsorb.
No, I was wondering, obviously there's the desire to reduce emissions and the need to do so, but whether the particular dramatic consequences she was talking about there will be likely.
I mean, well, they're very likely. I mean, they're happening already. Australia is an example. I mean, we tend to think of Australia as far away.
Carbon emissions, they've got nothing to do with the fires in Australia. Now, even if I believed in this climate fucking hoax, I swear, if I believed in it, if I had swallowed Greta's bullshit and Extinction Rebellion, you'd still say the fires have got nothing to do with CO2. And to be fair, I'm giving Bunter a bit of credit here, but he doesn't jump in there. I would jump in and I would paint the fucking walls with Anne Pettifor over this claim that Australia is climate change. It ain't. Anyway, let's move on.
Away, and as that never happening here, but actually, you know, this is happening in Australia, it's happening in the Amazon, it's happening in Africa, it's happening all over the place already, and we haven't yet hit 1.5 degrees.
Can't do it without less growth, can you?
Yes, we can, and we're going to have less of what the economists call growth. We can't go on...
Exactly, you have to have less growth.
Well, exactly, sorry. So we can't go on expanding economic activity as if there were no tomorrow, as if there were no finite limits to our capacity.
Excuse me. That was funny, wasn't it? That was proper funny.
What kind of fuckery is this?
proper fuckery, Amy. Listen to this little exchange again.
Can't do it without...
You can't do it without growth, says Bolton.
Can't do it without less growth, can you?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And we're going to have less of what the economists call growth. We can't go on...
Well, yeah, exactly. You have to have less growth.
Well, exactly. Sorry.
Yeah. Zen Adam brings population into it. He kind of nails this woman here. Population control, because they love population control. They don't want to admit it too often. It's a bit spooky, but they do love it.
But the problem is the population is set to grow by some 2 billion people before it reaches...
Sure it is.
...which is peak. And we need more growth to be able to feed those people and to keep them safe, don't we?
Adam, the real problem is that... 20% of the population are responsible for 70% of all emissions. If that 20% took action, then we could be you know, confident of a more stable future, and we could you know, accommodate a growth in population. But in fact, you know, that is a problem. You're quite right that the growth of population is a problem, especially in Africa.
Yeah, but don't worry about Africa, love. Because Bill Gates and Bono and George Clooney, they've got Africa sorted because they believe that vaccines will ultimately help with population control in Africa. It's funny how she starts off by disagreeing with everything Bolton says, and then at the end of the segments, she agrees with him. Population growth is a problem. China-style system in the near future, don't rule it out. These hairy, sweaty, unwashed, dirty, unkempt fucking losers who glued themselves to the streets of London at the last summer. These fucking nomarchs with their dirty dreadlocks. They are proposing a limit on families in terms of the amount of children you can have. They're lunatics. They're proposing that you can't heat your homes in the winter above 19 degrees. They're fucking crazy. And nobody's literally nobody is really standing up against it. Madness. Anyway, Bolton, I think, does well here. Adam Bolton.
There is still the implication of going too fast in cutting carbon, which is going to mean more starvation, more illness, more death.
No, that's not true. It really isn't true. The fact is that, you know, if we cut our carbon drastically, we're not going to starve. You know, we're going to have to just adjust our living standards.
And we're not, and, you know, we're 2% of emissions.
Yeah, no, but we're not, Adam. That's my point. We've exported our emissions abroad. If we cut our demand for consumption and production, that's going to affect emissions in other countries as well. So that's, it has to begin in the rich world.
So that is a limit to the living standards, a reduction in the living standards of people here.
It's not a reduction, it's a transformation of our living standards. We can't go on shopping forever as if, you know, there is no limit to the world's resources. We can't go on burning coal as if there is no limit. And that's going to require an adjustment, but it could be a good adjustment. It could make us more sustainable, it could make us more localised, it could make us more self-sufficient.
But, I mean, for example, we're already seeing the collapse of the high street. If we stop shopping, people stop going out to shop, you know, those jobs are going to go, those businesses are going to go.
The high street, we've stopped shopping on the high street, but we're shopping on Amazon, essentially. So don't worry. You know, it's about whether or not we can carry on consuming.
Don't worry. High streets have been obliterated by fucking Amazon, which has taken over shopping, effectively, globally. And Amazon hardly pays any fucking taxes anywhere. While we get chased for corporation tax, while we get chased for council tax, income fucking tax, VAT, every time you buy a packet of chewing gum, every time you buy a newspaper, you're taxed. But it's nothing to worry about if Amazon is taking over, says this lunatic and pettifor. We are living in mad times, we are. Sometimes you've got to go full Frank Grimes from The Simpsons and just scream, oh, just let it out. It's very therapeutic. Stand in the middle of a room. Make sure there's nobody around. Don't scare your animals. Don't scare your husband or your wife, and just let it out. Just go fucking mad for a few minutes. Yes, indeed. 4 minutes, 3.5, 4, I don't know, 4.5 to the top of the hour. We've got one more story to do today. But before we do that, Christopher Exley from Keele University will be on the Richie Allen radio show tomorrow. I'm very happy about that. I like Christopher Exley. Never spoken to him, but I've swapped emails with him. And he's doing groundbreaking studies and research into aluminium toxicity in human beings. And he's looking into whether the aluminium content of medicines and vaccines might be harming people. And I think he's a really interesting man. I told him that, you know, I'm always fair and you know, I take a balanced approach to these things. I have my concerns about vaccines, about some of them, the problems experienced by some people who've taken them, some children, not just some, but many. But you couldn't class me as anti-vaxxer per se. I've got a very open mind. But I believe the guests who've been on my programme telling me about vaccine injury, I believe them. You know, I think they're honest people. I think there is an issue with some vaccines. But I said to Chris, come on the programme and tell us about your research. He put a press release out today and he will be on the Richie Allen show tomorrow, Wednesday. That's one not to miss, okay? Okay. Let's wrap it up then with this story. I'm going to go over the hour anyway, but you'll forgive me. It was 2 hours, 40 minutes yesterday. You're getting an hour every morning with the old newspaper review. You'll forgive me. And I do need to relax a bit because this feckin' chest infection is causing me a bit of breathlessness, as you might be able to hear. Remember Sheffield University came out and said they were going to pay students just under a tenner an hour to police microaggressions? Remember that they would stop students from offending minorities even when those students didn't mean to at all? Dangerous shite, right? And I think it's not just dangerous, it's anti-education. At least my experience of education. This would have been, well, unthinkable. Now, the University of Sheffield pointed to what they said were examples of microaggressions, highlighted by the student union, such as asking people, why are you frying a banana? Jesus Christ. Because somebody from another part of the world might fry a banana. So you're not allowed to ask them. Because God forbid they fucking tell you why. Isn't that how you learn stuff? Hey, Shaniqua, what the fuck are you frying that banana for? I'll tell you why, Richie. Right? But don't ask Shaniqua why she's frying the fucking banana. Because she might melt. Crazy. Don't ask people how often do you wash your hair. Don't. You've got a gentleman from an African country. He might be from the Caribbean. He might have dreadlocks. I have asked that question before. I actually have. I said to a guy that I knew in Spain, he was a musician, and he had dreadlocks. And I said to him, tell the truth, how often do you wash it? And he just told me. He fucking told me. He didn't go running to the thought police. I can't believe it. I was racially assaulted by an Irish guy in a bar. What did he say to you, senor? Well, he asked me how often do I wash my hair. It's fucking crazy, right? Anyway, Sheffield University is training students to become race equality champions. Jesus Christ. RT did a vox pop. And I've robbed it. I've nicked it. And they asked Sheffield students, were they happy with the race equality champions running around like litter police? John Foley, how you doing in Liverpool? John Foley, top man. So you've got students running around looking for microaggressions. RT went to the university and asked the students, and tragically, all but one student are delighted.
Sometimes, like, you don't realise that you're, like, maybe being mean with someone and you don't even realise, and I think it's important to talk about it.
I think it is a matter of ignorance, really. Just not really being aware that someone might be offended by something.
A lot of people are kind of scared to say what they're from. So if I say, for example, basically I'm Afghan, then a lot of people are going to start thinking, oh, you're Talib, you're a terrorist, blah, blah, blah.
I do get asked, like, oh, where are you from? Because I know that I have a little accent. And they always like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, why are you apologising? Because I don't take it as, like, a bad thing.
Brilliant! The woman at the end, the young woman at the end, the young student, brilliant! Stop apologising. I don't take offence. Did you hear that fucking idiot from Afghanistan? Did you hear him there? A lot of people are scared to say where they come from. Listen to what he says, this agent.
A lot of people are kind of scared to say what they're from.
I'm Afghan, he says.
So if I say, for example, basically I'm Afghan, then a lot of people are going to start thinking, oh, you're a Talib, you're a terrorist, blah, blah, blah.
What a dickhead. Yes, of course, mate. Every time somebody says to you, where are you from? And you say, I'm from Afghanistan. They immediately start to think about calling the fucking Home Office. Are you? Stay there. Stay there. I've got a phone call to make. I've got to ring Priti Patel. There's an Afghan loose. He must be the Taliban. The world is mad, eh? Listen, I'm taking my leave of you today. Thanks for being with me for this hour. Tomorrow, back to a full show. This is a fucking full show you've just had. Back to a full interview show tomorrow. And Chris Exley from Keele University is one of the guests. And I think he's a very important academic, a very important scientist doing very, very interesting work. Okay. Thanks for all your tweets. Thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Do look after yourselves and one another. We're going out with an appropriate song. This is No Surrender from Bruce the Boss Springsteen. Here you are. See you tomorrow. Bye.